The Volume.
Catching Phase is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Catching Phase, Aqib Talib here. Today, man, we got a Hall of Fame on the show. So, man, today's takes, man, we're going to talk Hall of Fame. I'm saying, what does it take to be a Hall of Famer? I definitely need to know, man. You know, my time is coming. I want to be a Hall of Famer. I need to know what it takes, man. To me, right now, it's just one big question mark. It's one big question mark. Because I don't know. It's so many different types of players who go to the Hall of Fame who not in the Hall of Fame yet. It's one big question mark in my opinion, man. So we're going to talk to Isaac Bruce. We got Isaac Bruce on the show today. Y'all don't want to miss that interview. We're going to get his opinion on Hall of Fame and you know, and what he think. Hall of Fame, man. We see guys who played 4 years. We see guys who played 14 years. We see guys with Super Bowls. We see guys with no Super Bowls. We see guys with a bunch of playoff appearances, no Super Bowls. We see vocal, you know, vocal coach-like leaders. We see quiet guys who really don't speak at all, right? We see all kind of players, man. So what make up a Hall of Fame player? Is it his stats? Is it his Super Bowls, his wins, his All-Pros, his Pro Bowls? I mean, what is it? What is it? Is it what his teammates and his coaches think about him? My opinion on Hall of Fame, you know what I'm saying? You got to be one of the best at your position for the majority of your career. Now, your career can't be four years, and if it is short like that, then your career better look like Terrell Davis' career, right? So I feel like the less you do in the regular season, the shorter your career is, the more big game production that you need, right? TD going crazy in the playoffs, crazy in the chip. So I feel like that if you don't play that many, you don't play that many seasons, big game production got to be there. Next box, I think you got to win, man. You got to have some playoff wins. You got to have some Super Bowls, some big games. You got to be the only game on TV and going ham at some point, right? And if you don't got them big games, Super Bowls, playoffs, I think your career got to look like Calvin Johnson's, right? I think Calvin might have played in a few playoff games, but not too many big games, but we see how cold he is. He's a first ballot guy, best receiver I ever played, guaranteed Hall of Fame. I think you got to affect the week. I think you got to affect the game all week. I think the opposing coaches, do opposing coaches get ready for you all week, man? Do they got to know where you at all week? Like Charles Woodson, like Deion Sanders. You had to know, is Deion following? Is Charles going to play the slot? Is he on the left? He on the right? We got to know where he at before we just come out throwing comebacks and corner routes and stuff, right? So do the other team got to get ready for you? Do they got to get ready for you all week, man? I think that's important, man. I think your role on the team, if you behind the scenes is one of the real leaders on the team, if when they talk about this team making this playoff run or this team winning this Super Bowl, if they can't tell that story without you, you know what I'm saying? I think that's a crucial part, man. Just your role on the team. If you one of the coach-like players on the team, I think that should play a major part in you getting votes. So where you draw the line, man? Where you draw the line that separate a good slash great player from a Hall of Famer? That's another question, right? Man, we got OGs like Prime. He's saying that they letting any and everybody in nowadays, man. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of get me nervous. I always think about, like, when Prime say that shit, who he talking about? So I checked the last three classes, right? Checked the last three Hall of Fame classes. 2019, he had Champ Bailey, Tony Gonzalez, Kevin Mawai, Ty Law, Ed Reed. 2020, you had Steve Atwater, Isaac Bruce, Steve Hutchinson, Edgerrin James, Troy Polamalu. 2021, this last class, man, you had Alan Faneca, John Lynch, Calvin Johnson, Drew Pearson, Charles Woods, and Peyton Manning. Now, them the players. I ain't named, like, the contributors, the coaches. These just the players. Prime couldn't have been talking about none of those guys, man. Them guys is real deserving, real worthy guys, in my opinion, man. So it's tough, man. You got the OGs saying they're letting too many people in, man. I don't know. I think about it a lot because I want to be in the Hall of Fame, right? I want to go to the Hall of Fame one day. I try to compare myself to the guys who win, the guys who gone. But shit, I don't know who voting. I get kind of nervous because before Hall of Fame, it's only one guy in this whole decade, since 2000. It's only one guy who got 10 interceptions to the crib. And he ain't even make all decade. That's Aqib Talib. He ain't even make the all decade team. So if he not all decade, how can he be a Hall of Fame, right? So that's what's on my mind. That's how I think. Now this one guy who got 10 interceptions to the crib since 2000, he don't make all decade. It ain't like he trash. It ain't like he got 11 picks, 10 of them to the crib. He got 30, 40 picks. He got Super Bowls. He got all pros, Pro Bowls. He got all the accolades, man. But he ain't make all decade, man. So I get nervous when I see guys like Rondé Barber not in the Hall of Fame yet. Now, I know he got time. He still got time. He didn't go first ballot. He still got time. He's still making get in. When I see guys like Asante Samuel not in the Hall of Fame yet, I get nervous personally, man. And when I see those guys on the sideline, I hear Deion saying they letting too many people in. That balance is I don't know what's going on, man. So should more guys get in? That's another question. Should less guys get in? Should players and coaches be the ones who voting? Because, I mean, you know, right now it's media guys who vote. They follow the game, man. They follow it with a microscope, too, man. They see how we act in the locker room. But they only see, really, you take a beat writer from Denver. He only really see what's going on in Denver. You know what I'm saying? He don't really get the full rundown of somebody he didn't really cover. You know what I'm saying? So should the peers vote? Should the players and the coaches be the ones voting, man? It's all a big question mark in my opinion, man. One day, hope Leib get there, man. I hope I put in enough work. Hope my project was nice enough to get in there, man. But we'll see, man. But we're going to see what Isaac Bruce think about it. You know what I'm saying? We got that interview coming up next. What does it take to be a Hall of Famer? My takes for the week. We catching fades. Y'all stay tuned. Catching Fades is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played FanDuel Fantasy before? Great. FanDuel is offering up to $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. Why do you play FanDuel? I play FanDuel for the fantasy easy-to-use app. It's so easy to use, it make my betting experience great. And I can pick a new team every game. FanDuel is offering new users a deposit match up to $500 when you make your first deposit. Go to FanDuel.com/coward for more info. FanDuel.com/coward. FanDuel, more ways to win. So, you're a sports fan? That's why you're listening. But if you're considering getting in on the fun of those sports gambling, I want to let you know about a great resource, the Action Network. The Action Network is where fans go when they're ready to get smarter and turn a profit on sports betting. In fact, the free Action Network app was recently named the best app in sports betting. With the Action app, you can see the latest picks and articles from Action Network gambling experts, as well as personalities like Colin Cowherd. Compare odds from different sports books and track every bet you make so you always know what your picks are doing. So if the game means more to you, download the free Action Network app and start betting smarter. Catching Fades, Aqib Talib here, man. We got a Hall of Famer in the building today. Super Bowl champion, four-time Pro Bowler, Isaac Bruce. What's up, baby?
What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
All good, all good. How you?
Man, I'm good, man. Blessed. Everything's well. And here in South Florida, enjoying the rainy season right now.
Definitely blessed, man. You got Indeed. That call, or what is it? You tell me. Is it a call? Is it a knock? Like, how you get the news, man, of this 2020 Hall of Fame?
Well, what you don't want is the call. If you get the call, you know, they're calling to let you know, you know, better luck next year.
You don't want the call.
No, you don't want the call. You want to hear the big pounding of President David Baker's right fist pounding on your door. So that's normally how you get the news. We found out that way.
That's what's up, man. So you get the knock last year, man. Crazy year 2020. Couldn't celebrate it. You get to celebrate it this year, though, man. Wait, so how they doing that? Is both of y'all at one ceremony, or they got the days split up, or how they doing that?
Yeah, it's going to be the full weekend beginning August 4th, ending August 9th. So what's happening is 2020's enshrinement is that Saturday night, and 2021's enshrinements will be that Sunday night. So they're going to combine the two groups. They're calling it Twice as Fun in 21. It should be something to behold, man. You know, considering where it is, central location of Ohio, and the guys that are being inducted, especially my class. You got about three Pittsburgh Steelers and some names on that next night, man. It's going to be a packed house, so it'll be fun.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So yeah. I will be there, man. I got the invite from right Manny. You know what I'm saying? I was one of the lucky ones on the team who got the invite to come join the party, man. So I will be there on Sunday for the festivities. But you want to share it all with your fans or something? What you got going on with that?
Oh yeah, man. I partnership with Let's Engage, and it's letsengage.com/Isaac. That's an opportunity. It's a sweepstakes, man. You just enter for $10, and the winner gets a round trip tickets to the enshrinement from wherever you are. 3-night stay at a hotel, and if you ever been to Canton, a 3-night stay at a hotel, man, it can run you. Especially on enshrinement weekend, it can run you a pretty nice penny. Yeah. But at the same time, man, so we're covering that and have an opportunity, man, to meet some of my coaches, my former teammates, families, and have an opportunity to go to enshrinement and my private party afterwards. So, man, it's a sweet deal, you know, not only for Ram fans, but just for football fans in general, man.
Y'all heard it right there, man. $10. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Opportunity for a hell of a night, man. It's going to be a hell of a – if you don't think this is going to be a hell of a night, you're crazy, man. It's going to be awesome. Hey, I know Sunday when me and TJ and Chris, we come up there for Peyton, we're going to have a hell of a night for Peyton, man. I already know how Peyton do for sure. But congrats on that, man. That's what's up, man. Let's get into a little bit of what got you to that Hall of Fame, man. So you're a Florida boy, right?
Absolutely, man. South Florida, to be exact.
So how you get out of Florida to go to college, man? A little JUCO involved there, man. Tell us about that little story.
Well, I was one of those guys that didn't qualify academically. So I took the route, took a different journey. I went from Southern Florida to Southern California at the age of 17 and ended up at West LA College initially. And from there, I transferred to Santa Monica City College. And, you know, it's my alma mater, Chad Johnson, Steve Smith. Mm-hmm. That's our alma mater. And, you know, ended up getting recruited by Memphis to go to Memphis for 2 years and played there, man. And ended up being right back drafted by the Los Angeles Rams in 1994. So I had a different journey, unconventional one, to say the least, but enjoyed every moment of it.
That's what's up. That's what's up, man. So when you be eligible like that, would you say, looking back on it, was it school tough for you? Or was you just, you know, putting your priorities somewhere else, man? My kids watch my show, so I want them to hear Hall of Famer. On why he had to go the route that he had to go.
Yeah. Well, I'd say it was more just being lazy. I was a sluggard as far as academics were concerned. You know, my parents did push it, but at the same time, I was more focused on football and just having fun at that time. So when it came time to qualify academically as far as the standardized test, you know, I scored right under the 700 amount that we needed way back when. And just didn't make it, man. But, you know, I think my dream and my ability to really maximize the gift that God gave me, man, you know, it overshadowed not being able to be eligible for freshman football as far as Division I is concerned. So I felt like just keeping my eye on that prize, man, kept my journey alive. And it's amazing how God just kept placing people in my life to help that dream stay alive.
Hell yeah, that's what's up. I already knew the answer, Isaac. If you the greatest show on turf, if you could learn that shit, then I know you could learn math 101 or whatever it was. I just want my kids to hear it because I got some, you know what I'm saying, they get lazy a little bit and I want them to just hear it, like, you know, from a Hall of Famer. So, man, we fast forward a little bit. Boom, you go second round to the Rams. That first year start off slow by, like, you know what I'm saying, three tubs, a little light, but that second year, is you start going crazy, man. So what you think the biggest difference was from year one to year two? What made you start going crazy like that?
You know what? I had great mentors that were in the locker room with me. Jesse Hester, man. He played about 12 seasons in the league, drafted by Indianapolis, and then came to the Rams my rookie year. Yeah. Not only him, but Flipper Anderson, man. I mean, one of the most underrated wide receivers ever to play in our league. He did amazing things on the football field. So I had those guys to really start, really to teach me that first year. And my rookie year, I don't think I really started to settle in to about week eight. Uh-huh. And after week eight, man, I started starting the second halves of games and getting really comfortable in my own skin and my ability to read a defense and really adjust to what was being thrown in front of me. After that, I tore my MCL about week 12. And the next 4 weeks, I was just on the sideline, still going to meetings, still getting mental reps, which I believe is most important. Yeah. And I really started creating a vision for myself at the end of that, my rookie year, as far as, you know, the position was concerned. So I just, you know, took out pad and pencil and just really started writing who I wanted to be as a football player. And, you know, one of the things I wrote down just to be the best number 80 in California. That was my goal. So, mm-hmm. You know, started verbalizing it. And from there, man, over that summer, you know, I started getting stronger, started getting faster. By the time I came back for spring, man, it was pretty much, you know, I couldn't be covered and right. wouldn't be covered. Always could catch the ball, but as far as getting off the line of scrimmage and just really eating up cushion, you know, those things started to really just, you know, come to fruition for me. And I just had the mentality I just couldn't be covered and you needed two guys to cover me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. They definitely needed two guys to cover you, Isaac, for sure. But so what year did Mike Martz come around for you? And talk about that system, man. What was different about that system? Because you almost was on the hit another gear, you know what I'm saying, when we talk about that greatest on turf type system.
Yeah. Well, I met Coach Martz my rookie year. He was the quarterback coach that year. And after Chuck Knox retired and we go to St. Louis, Coach Martz, he became my position coach. And, you know, I credit him with a lot of, you know, giving me quarterback eyes. He taught me how to watch film, taught me what guys to watch and the way that they play and the way they would come off the line of scrimmage or how they wouldn't waste time or waste movement, getting in and out their breaks. And that was big for me. And right. like I said, it really helped my confidence that second year, to the point where I was right on the same page with Chris Miller, who was my quarterback at that time. And man, we just started off on fire, and it just went completely through that 1995 season, which is the season I call the year of the wide receiver in the NFL, because you had five or six guys that went over 100 catches, 1,500 plus yards. Oh, yeah. And it was a big year for wide receivers.
That's what's up. So yeah. when did y'all become like that greatest show on turf? And what you say, like, what's the moments or the time where you was like, man, mm-hmm. this it right here. We got a real chance to be something special, man. Like, when did y'all become that?
Well, I say from 94 till about 98, man, we were terrible. I mean, we were pretty much the it was between, let's see, Cincinnati and I believe the New Orleans Saints to wear the crown of the losingest teams of the 1990s thus far. And Marshall Faulk, he was over in Indy. He was doing his thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Torrey Holt, he was in college at that time. No one knew who Kurt Warner was.
He was at the grocery store.
Absolutely. He was probably, you know, doing his thing. From there, you know, you can start seeing some of the signings. First of all, you bring in Marshall from Indy. And yeah. right there, I knew we were legit. I mean, he just had that ability to run in between the tackles, outside the tackles, and then he can line up and play receiver. He could have been a third receiver in the NFL if he wanted to. His knowledge, his ability to read a defense, and just his awareness of the game, man. I don't think it was matched by a lot of people I've played with. But, you know, we draft Torrey Holt, and Torrey just tore up the ACC his senior year. And you bring in Adam Timberman from Green Bay. We already had big old pace. And Trent Green. I mean, Trent Green was the guy that came back to the Rams with Coach Martz as the offensive coordinator at that time. And he was given the keys to what I call was a Rolls Royce. And that summer, man, just on paper, I thought we were legit. We were a legit offense because it was the first time in training camp in my 5 years that I had been there that we could score pretty easily on our defense team. Up to that point, we were a defensive football team, and being able to move the ball easy, being able to score on our defense with ease, that let me know that we had a group of guys that we were ready to do something within our own division at that time, and I was excited about it.
Oh, yeah, that's what's up. Yeah. So, like you said, having Marshall and Torrey there, felt like that kind of took some of the pressure off you? Because, I mean, before that, it's your show, you know what I'm saying?
That was it, man.
You bring them two guys, and you felt like that kind of took some of the pressure off you?
Absolutely. I always thought that up to that point, the Rams were only interested, just having probably one offensive superstar at that time. You talk about Eric Dickerson. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't much around him until you brought in Henry Ellard. And, you know, you had Jerome Bettis the first year, 2 years before I got there. And he was just the guy. You give it to him 35, 36 times a game.
Exactly.
And let it do his thing. And for me, it was like that for me two seasons, 95 and 96. And that wears on you, man. I mean, because, you know, teams can roll that coverage over to you. They can beat you the line of scrimmage and have another guy waiting for you there. But when you go out and draft a Torrey Holt, man, that just lets you know that, okay, now we're trying to win. We're trying to do something a little different than what we had done in the past.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Teams had him two receivers, man. Now we got to talk in meetings on Wednesday and Thursday. We got to really get this plan together. They got one receiver, and, you know, I get the game plan. Coach, I'm going to go get some breakfast, man. Like, we're going to double him. We already know we're going to double him. Ain't too much to talk about. Whoever the other guy is, you got the one-on-one, and that's what it is. You know what I'm saying?
So absolutely.
You bring a Torrey Holt on the other side, it definitely changed the playing field. But who are some of the corners? Who are some of the corners you used to like to go against back then, man?
Oh, man. I had a budding rivalry with Ashley Ambrose.
Yeah.
Ray Buchanan.
Yeah.
Guys like it was a couple of guys. Tim McDonald, Merton Hanks, Eric Davis, man. These guys, you know, they played a lot of football and a lot of meaningful football. And, you know, we would just go at it when we played. I mean, down in Atlanta, anytime we went to New Orleans, these guys who are in our division, and we just go at it. There's a lot of guys that are under radar guys, but were really great corners. Eric Allen being one of them, man. Mm-hmm. You know, who could read routes and jump routes, and you had to be really careful with your route running versus guys like Eric Allen. So he was in New Orleans at the time, and man, you'd see how teams started to really adjust their drafts versus what we were doing as far as the greatest show on turf was concerned, man. They started, you know, drafting heavy on defense because they wanted to be able to slow that thing down. So, you know, I think we kind of affected other teams that way and made them look at defense a little bit different. And at the same time, a lot of teams were trying to duplicate what we were doing on offense.
Yeah, definitely. I say how it affected me. I started off as my brother, little, you know what I'm saying, guinea pig. Throw me the ball, I'm going to run a slant, throw it. Or he working on his quarterback, run a slant. I'm just the guinea pig, right?
Correct.
So I kind of started off thinking I'm going to be a running back. I'm a running back, man. I'm Emmitt Smith, I'm going to be a running back. But then when I seen that greatest show on turf, I turned to a receiver. Like, I'm a receiver now. I'm going to catch the rock. So I definitely remember that, man. It put receiver in my heart watching that offense for sure. But who's some of the offenses you watch 9 days, man, and you feel like, They got the quarterback, they got the system, they got the two receivers, the running back.
Yeah.
Who's some of the offense that remind you of that greatest show on turf right now?
Well, you got to start off with Kansas City, man. I mean, just with Mahomes being the quarterback, he can make every throw. He's smart. And, you know, with having a combination of an offensive coordinator like Andy Reid, man, I mean, you know, there's no ceiling on what he can do. And, you know, when he has guys on the perimeter that are fast, Hardman being one of them, Tariq Hill being the other guy. These guys are fast, man, and they take the top off the defense. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, sometimes you have to commit two guys to these guys. And then, you know, you got a tight end like Kelce, man. It's like, you know, choose your poison. I think the only difference between that group and what we had is that, you know, we can turn around and give it to Marshall 25 times. We can go three tight ends and have one receiver out there, and we can just really punish you with our running game if we wanted to. But, you know, when you look at Kansas City, man, I think they're the closest thing that I see to what we were doing.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's, you know, as soon as I ask the question, that's what I got on my head. I'm like, gotta be the Chiefs. That's the closest thing that we've seen. Or is it any wideouts in nowadays game that remind you of Isaac Bruce?
There are some guys. I love watching Keenan Allen. I love watching him, man. He's a guy that's under the radar, but he makes such big plays. D-Hop in Arizona. I mean, he just does everything, man. I mean, I don't think he's the biggest guy, but he plays really big.
Right. Not the fastest neither, but
correct.
He's a deep threat.
Yes. And one thing about him, you know, similar to me is he can get in and out of his breaks, you know, without really giving a defensive back or safety any kind of body language, which is key.
Right.
So, and he makes the tough catch. He makes those congested catches, man, that, you know, every team wants a guy like that. So guys like that, and I really like the new guy coming in, Devontae Smith. I think he's one of those guys that I feel like, you know, his ability and what he did in the SEC can translate over, because, you know, he'll be playing the same personnel once he really gets seasoned in the league. So similar to him, I think he's very similar to Marvin Harrison as well. So those are the type of guys I feel like that are very similar to what I used to do.
Definitely. When I think Isaac Bruce, I think quickness, speed, and route running and catches, finishes, right? Yeah. So my boat, quickness / speed, you don't know if they quick or if they fast. They just moving. Right. And then they got them crazy routes. Mine is Odell. And then the little Odells is Justin Jefferson, Calvin Ridley, and Devontae Smith. They all in that same kind of boat to me. And I put them in that Isaac Bruce boat, man. They like the Isaac Bruce type receivers.
So when you're going against those guys, what do you do? What's your mindset? Are you trying to get your hands on them?
I hate going against them kind. The worst kind that I try to go against. But me, honestly, I'm a go off that speed. If he could run by me, then I'm taking phase. I'm always taking phase away. But if he can run by me, I'm gonna be deep first on my mind. But if he can't really run by me, I'm gonna try to get my hands on him quick and damn near be in trail and not even really worried about him. I gotta be like a cheetah. He break, I gotta break, type deal. So it just matter, man. And honestly, if I'm going to Isaac Bruce, I ain't gonna leave out the meeting room until coach say, "All right, we doubling them." So yeah, we doubling them, right? On this, we gonna double them, right? On this, we gonna I'm gonna get it straight. I might even let the scout team receiver catch a couple of them just so I could tell Wade, like, "See, Wade, look, if we don't double them, that's what we asking for." I do shit like that, Isaac. I do shit on purpose to dictate the game plan myself, right? Like, see, it ain't gonna work. See, it ain't gonna work. That's what I'm gonna try to do. So really, I'm gonna make sure they don't get behind me. I'm gonna try to just keep guys like you. I'm gonna try to keep you in front of me, and I'm gonna just try to be a great tackler that week, man. That's really what I'm gonna try to do for sure. But yeah, man. So 2020 Hall of Fame, man. The time is almost here. Well, we got another month before look, I'm saying week because I'm going. You know what I'm saying I'm there. So we got another month before we out there in Canton, man. So the speech ready? Is the speech ready yet?
You know what? Things like that, it kind of writes itself, man, because, you know, when you think about your journey, you know, you just can't stop in the 16 seasons that you played in the National Football League. It's everything before, from Little League Pop Warner to your days in high school, from high school to junior college to Memphis, to the beginning of the Los Angeles Rams, to the St. Louis Rams, and to when I actually finished playing. So, and like I keep saying, there were pockets and people there who are strategically placed, I believe, divinely placed, that really helped me, man. So it's just more of just really thanking them at a public venue and having that moment to really recognize those people, friends, family, and fans that really helped you to develop to the football player that you were.
Right. So Hall of Fame, you know, Deion say, he said they're putting everybody in now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? What make a Hall of Famer, man? What you got to do to be a Hall of Famer?
Well, you know, the first thing as a football player, you know, the first thing that we look at, you know, is we're not looking for you to fear us. We're looking for you to respect us.
Right.
From the moment you walk in that locker room, it's about respect. to the moment that we're on the field competing against one another. It's about respect. Do I respect right. this guy? Or if you're my teammate and you're a cornerback and I'm a wide receiver, you know, can I respect the way you play on the field? Exactly. Do you compete? You know, if you don't compete, I don't think we're going to have much of a friendship off the field. So right. number one, that respect part of it's there. Number two, your impact. Can you make impactful plays? Did you make impactful plays? Mm-hmm. Will people can the story be told about you, about the game of football, and include you or not include you? So, you know, questions like that has to be answered. And then, you know, you have to look at your stats. For me, as far as a wide receiver is concerned, man, my question is, did they have to double this guy? And if they did, I think that puts him on a path to the Hall of Fame. And then if they doubled him, did he still produce? Right. You know, does he still have, you know, maybe 900, 1,000 catches, his yards per catch? I mean, those are things that I look at personally. And, you know, just the end result of it. What'd you do? Okay, did you go to playoffs? Did you make impactful plays in the playoffs? Did you go to Super mm-hmm. Bowls? Did you play in Super Bowls? Did you make impactful plays in Super Bowls? So when you had to follow around this, when you had to follow this guy or pick him up from the airplane, you know, when he came to Denver or when he came to Los Angeles, did you have to go with this guy everywhere he went? And how'd you do against that guy? Right. I mean, these things are, you know, these things should be the criteria for guys who are being enshrined. Do I think they're putting guys in that shouldn't be there? I don't think so. I think these guys are deserving of the way they played the game. You know, my only issue is, you know, how do you determine a first ballot versus a non-first ballot? So
right.
that's the only question I would have.
Yeah, so that yeah. so your locker room presence, like if you're the leader on a team and the confidence of our team is bred through this person, did mm-hmm. that got anything to do with being in the Hall of Famer?
I think it does. I mean, it's one of those boxes that can be checked. You know, right. how did you impact your locker room? In a mm-hmm. positive way or in a negative way? When you're on that, you know, the league and 16-game season, it's a roller coaster. So when you're down at the bottom, you know, right. how did you make the team respond? Did you sulk with them or did you remind them that, you know, this is a roller coaster, we're going to be right back at the top pretty soon? And did you do that through your play or just encouraging your team? So could you stand up in front of your guys and when you start speaking, will they all be quiet? They may not agree with you, but they can respect, exactly. you know, giving you the opportunity. You, right? Absolutely. Can you take that microphone and speak into your guys?
Exactly, man. See, see, every time Prom say this shit, I be wanting to call him, asking like, Prom, who are you talking about, Prom? You know what I'm saying? Who must deserve to be there, man? You know what I'm saying? Because everybody I see every year, the five or the seven guys who I see, I'm like, they Hall of Famers, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I'm just, you know, how long did you have to wait to get in, Isaac?
I waited. I finished playing in 2010, and my first year of eligibility was 2015.
Mm-hmm. And so 6 years, basically.
Yeah, I waited 6 seasons to get in. But once again, man, we play for respect, and you right. have selectors who have probably never put on a jock strap. Let's just be exactly. real. And they barely know. They may know a beat writer for the Denver Broncos would know you inside and out.
Right.
Within your same division, you know, you go play the Raiders. There's another beat writer. He doesn't know too much about you. Right. You know, he didn't see you every day. So he really can't really, you know, get to the podium and say anything quite at the same level as the Denver Broncos beat writer can about Aqib Talib. So, right. you know, you kind of get that situation, man. So that's why I'm thinking, you know, we got two former players that are in the selection committee right now. And I think there's a room for a lot more because I think, you know.
Former players, right?
Former players, former I defensive agree. Coordinators, former offensive coordinators. They should be in the room selecting guys, man, because they know.
I agree. Well, of course, Leib got Hall of Fame dreams, man. I love to talk to Hall of Famers. You know what I'm saying? I love to talk to them, pick their brain, and see what they think. Before we get out of here, man, one more time, tell the fans how they could join you, man, what they need to do.
Yeah, man. Just go to Let's Engage. That's LETSENGAGE.com/Isaac, man. It's a sweepstakes, $10 gets you in. Real nice prize, man. I think it's if you're a football fan, you always got to make it to, you know, what's being called football heaven up there in Canton, Ohio, man. Just see the museum itself. and just be around, man, see where football started and some of the greats that have played the game, man. So if you're a football fan, you definitely want to do that one time in your life.
Man, y'all heard it, man. Let's engage. Get on there, man. Pay that 10. Pull up with Isaac, man. Y'all might see Lieb out there on Sunday. I'm going to be out there with Payton. We're going to have a great time, man. That's what's up. Hey, Isaac, I appreciate it, man. Congrats on the Hall of Fame. Congrats on everything, man. I'm a big fan. Always. Huge fan, man. Appreciate and it, man. I appreciate you for coming on.
This was fun, man. Thank you.
Hell yeah. Appreciate it, Isaac. Take care.
Yes, sir.
We catching fades. Aqib Talib.